భావః బర్త్ స్వవృజ్జినే బై అవర్ ఓన్ సింపుల్ యాక్టివిటీస్ నరయస్యు ఇన్ లో బర్త్స్ నా ఆర్ స్టాచ్ లెట్ ఇట్ బి చైతః మైండ్స్ అలీవట్ లైక్ బీస్ యది ఇఫ్ ను maybe your sorry te your padayo at your lotus feet brahmetta are engaged vacha words cha and na are tulsi vat like the tulsi leaves yadi if te your angry at your lotus feet shobaha beautified puryatta are filled te your gunaganai by transcendental qualities yadi if kanarandra the holes of the ears. Translation: O Lord, we pray that you let us be born in any hellish condition of life, just as long as our hearts and minds are always engaged in the service of your lotus feet. Our words are made beautiful by speaking of your activities, just as tulsi leaves are beautified when offered unto your lotus feet, and as long as our ears are always filled with the chanting of your transcendental qualities. Please repeat. O Lord, we pray that you let us be born in any hellish condition of life, just as long as our hearts and minds are always engaged in the service of your lotus feet. Our words are made beautiful by speaking of your activities, just as tulsi leaves are beautified when offered unto your lotus feet. And as long as our ears are always filled with the chanting of your transcendental qualities. Purport by Sarangai Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The four sages now offer their humility to the personality of Godhead because of their having been haughty in cursing the two other devotees of the Lord, Jaya and Vijaya, the two doorkeepers who checked them from entering the Vaikuntha planet, were certainly offenders. But as Vaishnavas, the four sages should not have cursed them in anger. After the incident, they became conscious that they had done wrong by cursing the devotees of the Lord. And they prayed to the Lord that even in the hellish conditions of life, their minds may not be distracted from the engagement of service to the lotus feet of Lord Narayan. Those who are devotees of the Lord are not afraid of any condition of life, provided there is constant engagement in the service of the Lord. It is said of the Narayana Para, or those who are devotees of Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Na Kutashchanna Bibhati, Bhagavatam 6:17:28. They are not afraid of entering a hellish condition, for since they are engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, heaven or hell is the same for them. In material life, both heaven and hell are one and the same because they are material. In either place, there is no engagement in the Lord's service. Therefore, those who are engaged in the service of the Lord see no distinction between heaven and hell. It is only the materialist who prefer one to the other. These four devotees pray to the Lord that although they might go to the hell because they had cursed devotees, they might not forget the service of the Lord. The transcendental loving service of the Lord is performed in three ways: with the body, with the mind, and with words. Here the sages pray that with their words they may be always engaged in glorifying the Supreme Lord. One may speak very nicely with ornamental language, or one may be expert in controlled grammatical presentations. But if one's words are not engaged in the service of the Lord, they have no flavor and no actual use. The example is given here of tulsi leaves. The tulsi leaf is very useful, even from the medicinal or antiseptic point of view. It is considered sacred and is offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. The tulsi leaf has numerous good qualities, but if it were not offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, tulsi would not be of much value or importance. Similarly, one may speak very nicely from the rhetorical or grammatical point of view, which may be very much appreciated by a materialistic audience. But if one's words are not offered to the service of the Lord, they are useless. The holes of the ears are very small and can be filled with any insignificant sound. So how can they receive a great vibration as the glorification of the Lord? The answer is that the holes of the ears are like the sky. As a sky can never be filled up, the quality of the ear is such that one may go on pouring in vibrations of various kinds, yet it is capable of receiving more and more vibrations. A devotee is not afraid of going to hell if he has the opportunity to hear the glories of the Lord constantly. This is the advantage of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One may be put in any condition, but God gives him the prerogative to chant Hare Krishna in any condition of life. If one goes on chanting, he will never be unhappy. And the Prabhupada. Om Ayanantaranda Shagana Slaka Chakur Nijam Tashmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Vadaya Krishna Parishaya Bhutade Smati Bhakti Vidanta Swamiti Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vacharine Nevishesha Shandavari Pashvati Zatari. Translation once again. Persons who are very expert. Right. O Lord, we pray that you let us be born in any hellish condition of life, just as long as our hearts and minds are always engaged in the service of your lotus feet. Our words are made beautiful by speaking of your activities, just as tulsi leaves are beautified when offered to your lotus feet. And as long as our ears are always filled with the chanting of your transcendental qualities, here the four Kumaras are praying to Narayan. Lord Narayan has come to... There's some disturbance in Vaikuntha, so immediately he appears on the scene with all his entourage. And they are completely charmed by the Lord. And even... I think the next chapter, then the Lord will speak to them in such pleasing words that they're bewildered by by the gravity of his words. Because Lord is transcendental, he is purna, complete. So every word, everything that he does is also complete. Is also unlimited. Whatever he does, his gesture, his beauty, his speech, his activities, his pastimes, they're actually unlimited. That is why there's so much description, even of the tiny details of the Lord, because you can go on describing one tiny feature of the Lord, like the reflection of his fingernails, for volumes. Because he's unlimited, so all of his qualities are also unlimited, they're also absolute. So they're nervous now that the Lord has appeared. They've just cursed Jayan Vijay. You don't belong here. Why are you stopping us from coming? Why are you fearful? There's no fear in Vaikuntha. You don't actually belong here. You're you the wrong consciousness, you must be cheaters. You should go to where the people fear. Go to the earth planet, the person. Then the Lord immediately comes on the scene, and the hero. And then the infallible Lord. So now they're apologetic. So immediately they worship the Lord, pray to the Lord, worship Him, get His favor. Just like naughty boys when they've done something wrong, and the parents come immediately. They become very humble and very shy. And if they're smart, they start to say nice things to their parents. So these are like 4 or 5 year old boys. So here they're praying, just in case they get cursed for their cursing a devotee. Just in case they have to go down, they're praying that, okay, let us be born in any hellish conditioned life, but don't let us forget you. And this is a theme which runs throughout our bhakti scriptures. So many instances here. They're quoting one from the sixth canto. That's a Chittaketu's one. Chittaketu was also cursed by Parvati Mataji. And she was surprised that he took the curse very openly and without being affected, smilingly. And she was very surprised. Then Lord Shiva began to glorify the qualities of a devotee, that whether they go to heaven or hell, it doesn't matter, as long as they have devotional service. So this is the actual position of devotee. It's a position that we want, right? I mean, we call ourselves devotees, but still this level of devotee is something different. And we're struggling hard to get our community together, to make nice relationships with even amongst the devotees in our community. We're having so many. Just to do that is a task. Just to all to come together and live together as devotees of the Lord, without any creating bad feelings towards each other. The material world is such a place. So Prabhupada says that heaven and hell, they're the same, because in either place is no engagement of the Lord's service. So this the category of devotee that we're here, talking about here, is one who's already, they've actually established that relationship with Krishna. So once one's established his relationship with Krishna, then Krishna says there's no higher happiness. And that's just the impersonal aspect of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. When one comes to that platform of Brahma Bhuti, he knows there's no higher happiness. So what to speak of the personal relationship with Krishna, which is above that impersonal relationship. So from then, so once that relationship is established in a solid way, then one is disinterested in the material world. As far as we're interested in the material world in the conditioned state, we're interested in it because of the pleasure it affords and the shelter that it may afford. So those two things that we're searching for, because it's actually a difficult place, the material world. So within that, we're trying to adjust so that we can get a little shelter, a little peace and happiness. Because that's all we know. In the conditioned state, it's all we know is that we're these bodies, and to keep the body safe from harm, and to give pleasure to the body and mind is the goal of life. Right? This is the standard of the human population in the world today. That's what all the governments want, right? They want a nice, peaceful situation, nicely economically developed, where there's no poverty, no illiteracy, right? And there's a peaceful situation. Every government will want that. But they're all saying that, you know, theirs is a way, so, and they're fighting to prove that theirs is a way, so we don't really, there's no actual harmony in the world, because it doesn't actually exist. The safety and happiness doesn't exist in the material world, not for very long. There is a little relief from the modes of nature sometimes, and a little and that relief we call happiness. That relief we take as shelter, and that relief we take as happiness. Otherwise, there's some when the senses contact the sense objects, there's some causes some sensations throughout the body, chemical changes, and then we think this is nice. So that's your happiness and distress in the material world. But once, and that's all that everyone is looking for on the material world, that means material life. You're looking to satisfy these demands of the mind and the body, the senses. Where is that shelter and where is that happiness? So it's only when one becomes to the really civilized platform of life that one turns to God to fulfill these desires. And when one is more advanced by following some religious system, then he gets purified of, his consciousness becomes purified, then he can understand the actual position of the living entity in the material world, that he actually doesn't, is not a satisfactory condition. Rather than trying to make a satisfactory condition in this place, go to somewhere where a satisfactory condition already exists. This is the middle planetary system. It's not meant to be like heaven here. Heaven's already existing in the higher realms, and it's not meant to be hellish. The hellish conditions are already existing in the lower worlds. This is the middle portion, not too good, not too bad. So rather than, everyone likes the heavenly planets, nobody wants to go to hellish planets. But why are we striving so hard to change the situation of this middle planetary system, which is not meant that? You're going against the nature of the very place. You're trying to make it one thing, which is not. It's not too good, it's not too bad. But we're trying to make it not bad and all good. So that situation already exists. And by your endeavor, by following the right program, there is directions how to go there. That's your scriptures. And by not following them, that's the way to go down to the other places. So why waste time trying to? This is intelligence. Father, just let me do this duty and get out of this place, go to a higher existence, and I'll get my desires fulfilled. So this is the lure, the trick of religious script of religion. It's promising a better standard of living. Otherwise people won't go to God. If you've got a better standard of living, then you won't need God, because but by doing that, within those religious systems, there's also some chit potency you'll come across. Sadharma will be there also, some worship of actual God. So you'll get some spiritual, some sukriti amongst all that punya. You'll actually get some sukriti. When that sukriti builds up after many births, then you can understand things properly. So that's the purpose of religion, just to engage people. Because everyone comes here for a sense gratification. Just to engage people in a sense gratification in a restricted way, in the way that it's prescribed. This is, okay, here's sense gratification. If you do this, you'll get satisfied. Follow these restrictions, you can have some sense gratification under restriction. But we're promising something better at the end. You go to heaven. So if you're intelligent, then you'll do it. Just like you go to university, you make a sacrifice for 5 or 10 years, whatever it is. You could be out earning money, but you're not. You're making a sacrifice. As you know, when you get that degree, you get a big job, you get more money, you can enjoy better. So that's intelligence, right? You're looking, so the same thing. So the intelligent, civilized people there, they become religious. They gradually become. But for the person who's achieved the perfection of religion, who's understanding that Vasudeva Sarvamitti, that who God is, and what this material world is, then he has no interest in these religious activities as a means of elevation. Although we may, of course, we don't give up religious activities, because it says for the self-realized soul, he has no duty to perform. He has no need to perform those duties, and he has no need not to perform them. He's not bound. So generally, you see that even the self-realized persons, they follow the, according to the scriptures, to guide the common people. Whatever a great man does, the common people will follow. So, but for persons already achieved this state of establishing the relationship with God, feeling the presence of God, establishing the relationship with God, then this is all insignificant. The material world is all insignificant. This desire and hate, it becomes all secondary. It becomes less important because you've got something better. So this is the whole program, is to actually get that higher taste. So you have that experience. And then you can give up this other. Because we have experience, we are self-realized in the material world. We have practical experience of the sense gratification of desire and hate. But of the spiritual aspect, we don't have realization. We've forgotten all about that, that experience. So that's what we're going for that experience now. This is called faith. And Krishna, of course, he gives a little bit now and again just to reassure us that there is something there. So therefore a person on that platform, they're naturally not disturbed. But you can't do that artificially. You can't say, let me go to heaven and hell, because wherever, unless you have actually a taste, then everyone's going to prefer to go to heaven. But once you're experiencing that the relationship with Krishna, because Krishna's name, fame, paraphernalia, qualities, so his pastimes, they're all absolute. So when you're discussing them, when you're connected with Krishna, then the words that you speak, or the pastimes, the words that you hear, the pastimes, qualities, and names of Krishna, they're not different from Krishna. So you're actually experiencing Krishna in that. So then you become really, satisfied just by hearing, chanting, and serving the Lord. That is the platform of the pure devotees. And you can do that anywhere. There's no material impediment for practicing devotional service. You can do it under any condition of life. You can always hear about Krishna, you can always chant about Krishna, you can always read about Krishna, you can always, at least you can remember Krishna, if you can't do those other things, even under force, but you can still remember Krishna. So there's no material impediment. You can't say, I'm in a condition that you can't remember Krishna. Says the disappearance of Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, who was in such a condition towards the end of his life. So much pain there. They were engaged in kirtan, chanting and hearing. That was his thing. One day he said to Radhanath Maharaj, was saying how suddenly he was crying in great happiness. He said, "That's it, this is it, Maharaj. This is it. This is the ultimate. This is it. This is everything. Don't you know? This is it. This is perfection." Maharaj is saying, maybe he had some vision of Krishna come and dancing before him or something. He said, What? He said, We're here. We're chanting Hare Krishna in the association of devotees. There's nothing else. There's nothing else in this life. So that's a fact. He just needs some realization. So all these other things are, that's all you actually need. And we've got that already. It's just that we're not experiencing Krishna in his name, unfortunately. We haven't had that adhikaras yet. but when that's there, then it doesn't matter what condition that you will be, what condition of life you're in, because you have that, you have Krishna. And I think the great devotees are praying that We prefer to go to hell if we can remember Krishna, rather than go to heaven if we can't remember Krishna. And the Vaishnavas would rather go to hell than to have this Kevala liberation, mukti. Because in that Kevala liberation, that's just oneness, just existence. Sat. Just existing. So there's no chance to remember Krishna there, because there's no duality there. It's just one. Just a state of being, just a state of existence. So they think that's worse than going to hell, because in hell, at least there's a chance of remembering Krishna. Somehow or other, you could remember Krishna. But in the Brahma Jyoti, you can't remember Krishna. There's no duality there. So even they prefer to go to hell, because there may be a chance of remembering Krishna. So that's everything. So this is what the devotees are asking for here. As long as we've engaged, whatever is going to happen to us, as long as we don't forget you, then we don't mind. They're a little nervous, of course, but this is their benediction. They pray that we won't forget you wherever we go. We go to heaven, we go to hell. That's not important, as long as we don't forget you. Prabhupada said the four devotees prayed to the Lord, although they might go to hell, because they had cursed devotees, they might not forget the service of Krishna. So Prabhupada said here, one may speak very nicely with ornamental language, or one may be expert at controlled grammatical presentation. But if one's words are not engaged in the service of the Lord, they have no flavor and no actual use. But it was an example in the life of today's the appearance of Vakeshwara Pandit, one of the Parshads of Lord Chaitanya, very close devotee of Lord Chaitanya, who used to love to sing and dance. One time he danced for 72 hours, non-stop. He would pray to Mahaprabhu, "Oh, growing a moon-like face one, please send me 1,000 Gandharvas to sing, then I can really show you, do some nice dancing for you, for your pleasure." So here, his famous story was with how he delivered Devananda Pandit, because Devananda Pandit, he was a very learned scholar, very pure Brahmana. And he only read Srimad Bhagavatam. He lived here in Navadvip, in Kulia, or that side where Navadvip is. So he only studied Srimad Bhagavatam, but he was a grammarian, logician, and he didn't have faith in Lord Chaitanya. So he was a smarter, in other words. But he was very pure. He was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, and a Srivas Pandit came there. He heard the Bhagavatam, Srivas Pandit went in, and then when Srivas Pandit heard the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he became overwhelmed in ecstasy and began to cry. And then the disciples, they said, this person's making a disturbance for Srimad Bhagavatam. So they picked him up and threw him outside. And Devananda didn't object. So of course that didn't please Lord Chaitanya. And Mahaprabhu actually went and chastised him, personally chastised Devananda. He was passing one time and he heard him. And Mahaprabhu just went in there like a lion and started, "What are you doing?" He said, "You don't know what Bhagavatam is. You're just chanting in these slokas and just chanting, going on and on." He said, "You don't understand the Srimad Bhagavatam at all. Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but pure love of Krishna. It's explaining nothing but pure unalloyed devotion to Krishna. And you missed the point completely. It's useless." Very nicely saying, grammatical, ornamental language, very controlled grammatical presentations, this is useless. You haven't understood it at all. And he became very... He got the curse of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But later, Vakrashwar Pandit came and he stayed in his house for some time. He's a Hirshima Bhagatam. But and by Vakrashwar Pandit's association, he recognized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who he was. So this way he was saved. Once he recognized Lord Chaitanya, then he accepted the path of devotion. So even Lord Chaitanya said the same thing, that without, if you're not actually glorifying without actually understanding what the purpose of this Srimad Bhagavatam is, even though it's the only book he read and studied, and he was very expert at presenting it, but he missed the actual conclusion that he wasn't bringing out the purpose of it is pure unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. So otherwise, if that's not there, then everything is useless. Our activities that we perform with our body, our thoughts that we perform with our mind, our words that we perform with our tongue, and the substance that we hear through our ears are useless if they're not connected with Krishna. They merely are prolonging this stay in the material world. Because if it's not Krishna, it's four things. Eating, how to eat, how to sleep, how to mate, and how to defend in a better way. There's no other topics of conversation which go on in the material world, just those four things, which are available to the insects and the animals. They're also doing that's their subject matter also. So that is the basic existence life of human life. So when one becomes more advanced, then one becomes a little more religious, but still one is interested in those things with dharma, artha, karma. They're still really eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Because then you want to get to the higher planets by performing pious activities, where you can eat, sleep, mate, defend very nicely, even better than you can here. So that's still there, even amongst the so-called pious people. So it's not enough just to be pious, not enough just to be learned or a good orator or a good whatever it is, expert or whatever you do. That's not enough. That's not the real point. If that's not used to glorify the Lord, then however expert it is, it's useless. Because it will merely prolong our stay in the material world. So it's a very cutting statements here in the Srimad Bhagavatam to burst the bubble that, you know, we can make it nice in the material world. And then we won't be cheated by all these nice promises by our so-called leaders that in the future everything's going to be alright. We just have to change the program this way, that way. But we understand nothing's going to work. If it's devoid of Krishna, it's never going to work. If it's not Krishna's program, it's only going to lead us back again into the material world. So, but any for the one who Krishna consciousness is actually the only panacea for the material for life. If you actually want to get out of this material world, or you want to go back to Godhead, or you don't want to stay in this material world, then what else is going to do it besides Krishna consciousness in Kali Yuga? There's no other process. No other process will work in Kali Yuga. Another form of religious process will actually do it. Because the other process will may take you to heaven at best, but then you can't stay there. But hardly any of these even the Kevala Mukti, which actually takes you out of the material universe, you're situated in transcendence, but you actually can't remain there because it's unconstitutional. It's still you're wrongly not rightly situated, and therefore you may have to come back again. So it's only Krishna consciousness which will which will actually do the trick. So if one is Krishna conscious, then doesn't matter what you do, what you say, as long as you're connecting with Krishna. So that then it's all superficial. The eating, sleeping, mating, defending, growing old, getting sick and dying. You've got to go through that. Nobody's free from that. Everyone, you go through all those things, but how you do it and why you do it, which is a subject matter of the material life, which we spend all our energy on trying to do it the best way, to eat, sleep, mate, defend, get old, sick and die in the most comfortable way possible, it's all a waste of time. You wasted all your whole life, whole energy doing those kind of things, trying to adjust. It's going to go through it anyway. So, and all of your programs to help, they were not going to help. They're just going to put you in another situation in the material world where you can try again and try again and try again until you get frustrated, until you come to this, turn back to the Lord. Oh God, help me. I can't do it myself. Then listen to what he says. And then follow his program, and then that's it. So here Bhagavatam is a shortcut. He's directly given pure unalloyed devotional service to the Lord, which not only take you out of the material world, it take you right to the most esoteric part of the spiritual world, Golok Vrindavan. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, because Srimad Bhagavatam is only about establishing your relationship with Krishna in one of those four rasas. Chaitanya Charitamrita also, that's the purpose of that. And that's that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give in this Kali Yuga, which was very rarely achieved before, that you can actually develop these different relationships with the Lord. So that is our a great fortune, that we're born around this time, because our forefathers, at least before 500 years ago, didn't have this opportunity. Before the advent of Mahaprabhu, no one had this simple opportunity. A handful of people. I'll read this translation again. O Lord, we pray that you let us be born in any hellish condition of life, just as long as our hearts and minds are always engaged in the service of your lotus feet. Our words are made beautified by speaking of your activities, just as tulsi leaves are beautified when offered unto your lotus feet, and as long as our ears are always filled with the chanting of your transcendental qualities. And comments, question? Vivo.